Good morning, church. I'm Paul Kirsting. Going to help get our minds and hearts ready for communion. I'm looking for my wife, Annette. Are you here, Annette, yet? Anyway, since Ken bragged about being married 34 years, I want to let you know Annette and I will be married 40 this June 15th. So, Ken, but thank you. Thank you, Ken and Wendy, for reminding me about that. I was met by John and Lois Schmidt. I was working with an insurance company, and John was building PPO networks for us in different cities, and I didn't know anything about the Bible very much anyway, and my boss told me to take John and Lois to Hawaii for a conference, and that was nice. So my eternal life was made possible through John and Lois, who asked me how things were going spiritually, and we had two young boys at the time, and it seemed like all we could do is just try to keep from breaking into a fight every day. But I'm from a small town in Minnesota. You were either Catholic or Lutheran in those towns, and there wasn't a lot of difference in the liturgy. But one thing I learned was that people did take care of each other. They served each other. And I want to talk a little bit about Jesus right before his death, and of course, burial and resurrection, but how he served the apostles. You know, as Hamilton talked last week about what he does and how he works with people with different addictions and how they build these altars or Ebenezers. And then Gooch on Wednesday night challenged the men to kind of think about those key points in your life, things that have happened to you that have helped you on your spiritual walk. And I grew up in a small town. My mom was bipolar, manic, depressive. I thought that was just a mental weakness. She wasn't being strong and was very foolish about it. But I'm glad to see that the church is really beginning to understand, you know, mental health and mental illness and things like that, because a lot of the times we have some great highs and some terrible lows in this process of staying on the bridge to eternal life. And I'm grateful to Jesus for the fact that there is a bridge to get us there, because we were all in the mud in our sin. And I think that bridge is still a bridge of sorrows and sighs, and we groan while we're on it, but we also get a chance to dance. And I appreciate the worship team and Byron and the songs this morning. I'm always nervous to get up and speak because I'm afraid of, you know, it's about me and how you're going to think about me, and that's my addiction. So I'm going to keep working with Hamilton on that. But he probably doesn't need any more work, but still I appreciate the worship team and the way you guys help us with songs of praise. So I'm going to take a scripture from John. If you have your Bibles, I want to just talk about Jesus. You know, here he was. He came into town with people putting down their palm branches and putting down their coats. He was, again, greeted beautifully. Probably his disciples, apostles, felt, oh, finally, you know, he's going to take the role of being king. At least that's what I'd be thinking if I was one of the apostles, that, you know, finally Jesus is going to take over and get rid of the Romans or whatever. But that wasn't, again, what God had as a plan for Jesus. You know, and within a week or so, he was crucified for us, buried, and he was also resurrected. But in this passage in 13, I just want to share about, the evening meal was being served. This is 13, verse 2. And the devil had entered Judas. A little bit later it says, Jesus knew that all things had been put under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table and the meal. He took off his outer clothing. He wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And we know what Peter said and what he did. And a little bit further down, verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, that no servant is greater than the master, nor is a messenger greater than one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I'm in the Jim Hanna and Pam Hanna life group, and so Jim's good about finding books, which I appreciate, because even though I was kind of driven by fear, when I saw my mom's weakness, I said, I better work really hard. So I became the valedictorian of my high school and did a lot of stuff that just put trust in myself. It did not put trust in God. So, but Jim finds these great books like The Prodigal God and this one about humility, which was written probably over 100 years ago. And I appreciate them because I think this act that Jesus just showed us is a great act of humility. And when I was first baptized, I think I understood I needed to get my life right. And I did understand that Jesus died for me, but I didn't know about love yet. And it took quite a long time, it still does, to understand that. But in this book that Andy Murray wrote, it talks about that God is humility pure. And Jesus had that humility before he chose to obey the Father and come to earth. And in this book it writes, humility is the place of entire dependence on God. It is, from the very nature things, the first duty and the highest virtue of man. It's written 100 years ago, so some of these words don't probably sound like what we would normally talk about, but it is the root of every virtue. And it goes on to say, and so Jesus came to bring humility back to earth, to make us partakers of it, and by it to save us. And so I think, the surrender that I go through, one of the gifts of the Spirit is to be self-controlled. And, of course, when I'm driving in Atlanta traffic, I can quickly recognize I'm not doing a very good job. But, again, at least I can recognize that I am thankful to God that that kind of anger shows up and I catch it. And then pray again for peace as I go about my day. Scriptures that in John that I talked about earlier, again, Jesus as a servant, this comment about humility. Another scripture that caught my eye when we were studying, when John and Lois and our families, Jesus said, I am, this is in John 14, verse 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, then you'll know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So as the disciples heard Jesus kind of preparing them for what he was going to go through, and they didn't understand it, of course, and I didn't understand much of this when I was, preparing for baptism either, but 30 years later now, and thanks to your love and patience with me and many people who have discipled Annette and I and our family, it is possible to begin to, again, appreciate the examples of how Jesus has shown us humility through service. Because I like to work, and that part kind of has stuck with me, I have found the service in the church, the ministries that Steve Gooch or Betsy or many different things that we do, and we are known as a church that gives of ourselves and works, again, to help people. So I think that has, again, been a way for me to kind of break through from this issue of doing things out of fear to doing things in love and learning how to love. So again, Jesus was just helping his disciples get ready for the fact that in just a short time he would be brutally treated. He would die all for us. He would be buried, with his mother watching all of that, and then be raised from the dead, thank goodness. We have that great promise and hope as we look forward. I was looking at John, 2 John, this week, and it amazed me that during John's life, he was older. He was exiled to Patmos, an island, and he wrote it, warning the churches that already people had begun to teach that Jesus wasn't human, that they were beginning to teach a false teaching, that somehow this was someone like a God that came and left. He didn't have the feelings or the temptations that we have. And so I think, Jesus warned that that would happen, that sort of false teaching would come out. But I just kind of want to think about, as we're thinking about our spiritual Ebenezers, as we prepare the things that Hamilton said last week or Steve Gooch challenged the men to think about, let's keep our mind focused on the service and the humility of Jesus in this example of washing the disciples' feet, as well as that we would find the love for each other, the love for the lost, to help us. So let's go to God in prayer.